guys. This is Jamie here at Movie Moan, thinkandflythink.com. Welcome you to another edition of our great podcast. We apologize we couldn't have it last week. Audio problems on my end prevented us from doing so. Thanks to Mr. Lou, who is joining us as always, for fixing that problem. Say hello, sir.
Greetings and felicitations, folks.
And as always, Phil and Ed, you know them, whatever.
Hey there.
Nice.
Burn. So how have you guys been doing this week?
Good. Good. Getting over the hour change, the candy burn-off, and raking leaves today, so it's been lots of fun.
That's right. This is post-Halloween, November 1st. Now, Phil, you said that there were many trick-or-treaters in your neck of the woods.
We didn't get a massive response, but we got a better response than we thought we would. We thought that we were going to get one or two little kids and a lot of overage teenagers dressed up like, you know, Clockwork Orange. But no, we just got a couple nice little kids, and we baked some cakes for them, and it was very nice. And I also want to say to folks, not that you'll really be bothered about it, but it has been kind of a running thing on the show, because I'm the only person who cares about this movie that we'll be discussing later on, but I do have my Avatar ticket.
Thank
so
God.
I am happy about that.
We might as well segue into our first story, actually.
Does Captain Ed Hocken want a belated birthday song?
Yes.
No, you don't need to do that.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Ed.
We're not going to say how old Captain Hocken is, because we don't want to embarrass him.
Right. That is true.
If you want to find out, I won't send a link. Because you can't
send money to...
Exactly.
Send money, lots of money.
Exactly, because I'll take your money. Ed might too. So the first Avatar trailer, heavens no, the second Avatar trailer was unveiled officially this past, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, I don't remember when. It was sometime in the middle of this week. Eyeballs did not melt for the second time in a row. I mean, after spending, you know, years of hyping up this movie, it's still green feline people. Or whatever.
La 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 la.
Now,
la,
Phil,
la, la, la.
That is some denial right there.
Yeah, but
green, I thought they were blue.
Yeah, they were blue. Did I say green?
Yep.
You said green.
I did say green. Well, that's my version. That's the sequel. So they're not talking about it yet, but my version, they're green. Excuse me. See, I just made a moron out of myself, and we're barely like in the 2-minute mark. So
you got it out of the way early.
That's right.
Maybe if they were green, it wouldn't bother people so much. I mean,
think so.
Peter wouldn't be able to make his dirty, underhanded Smurf comments
and
offend people like me on the interweb.
What we would do is we would put a Hulk picture or something instead.
Exactly.
Or a leader or whatever. But, I'm still – I want it to be a good – at this point, I just want the movie to be good. That's what – I mean, I want that to be in any movie. I think James Cameron is underrated as a storyteller because it's always this, he pushes the boundaries of visual effects. And that's not – that's true. He does. And, I mean, his movies keep getting winning visual effects Oscars. But people forget, like, you know, the reasons why those movies work is because of the story and the performances, not because of whatever visual effects. I mean, you can throw as much money as you want to on screen. That doesn't mean the movie's going to be great. There's plenty of examples of that. I wonder if this might be a case of just that, where they're just throwing oodles of money thinking, like, oh, well, we'll get the techniques down and that'll make the movie great now. I don't care about the movie. I'm going to go see it. But just in terms of the hype, no one movie can live up to that amount of pre-release press, I think. What do you guys – what's your guys' take on this? I'm rambling on. Someone call bullshit on me.
Oh, I guess bullshit. That's my cue.
really. Let's hear it.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, they hyped it up, and they've got to deal with what's going to happen. I will say that well, look, I love the trailer. First of all, it's a 3-minute trailer,
yeah,
which doesn't happen these days, which, again, either that's really pompous and arrogant of them to say, our movie cannot be contained by a 2-minute trailer. Pah! No, it's got to be a 3-minute trailer. But also, I didn't see this friggin' trailer in front of anything. I still haven't seen an Avatar trailer in front of anything. I'm seeing posters and banners, and also, you might remember... Look, I loved the trailer, and I do remember when we were talking about the first trailer and Avatar Day, that myself, and I believe it was Lou, said that what they really need to do is hype up, because this is all they've got to sell it on, that it's James Cameron, and he's directed all these other very good films, which
they
is what they did. They listed every single one except
for the Abyss.
Oh, did they?
Oh,
they,
yeah, that's right.
They didn't list the Abyss. Yes, they did, and I'm shocked because that's a great movie. I mean, like,
that is. It really is.
Money, I guess.
No, the Abyss made a lot of money. That's just so weird. It's like, you know, we're trying. I don't know, dude. I mean, I get why you don't want to put Piranha to the spawning. I get that, but you know, I would have foregone True Lies. I like True Lies, but I would have foregone that in case of the Abyss. That's the marketing department, though. I think I get the impression Cameron is calling the shots on every single detail in this movie, including marketing. That's the impression I'm getting. I don't know if I'm right about that or wrong, but
probably, because they're certainly not selling the stars, but not that they.
What stars?
But in any case, look,
Sing.
Exactly, that's the point. You know, all I'll say is that, yeah, it's not original. I'm not sold on the dialogue yet, because remember, I saw the preview footage, so I've seen actual scenes play out, and the dialogue doesn't seem very strong right now. Also, what I will say is that Saturday the 19th of December showing that I'm booking it for, it's the earliest I can see. Do you know what time that showing is? It's the only evening performance. And it's at 10:45 at night.
Jesus,
how long
dude!
Is this movie?
It's
at least 2.5 hours. It's Watchmen length.
Jesus,
there.
God!
So I tell you, if this movie doesn't hold my attention, you'll soon know about it because I'll have fallen asleep, 3D or not. I'll have fallen asleep. So I, you know, all I've got is faith. I love James Cameron. I've no reason to doubt him. I think the trailer was fantastic. I think people saying this thing looks like a video game, you're entitled to your opinion, but I think that's pretty fucking ignorant, to be honest. You can say it looks crap. You can say that you don't like the way the Na'vi look. They do look like pumped up Smurfs / Thundercats. It's true. They don't look original at all, but I just love it. I also love, I will say one thing I do love about this, is the glimpses I'm getting of the villain. Well, he looks like he's the villain. He's the military.
He's the villain, yeah.
Badass. There's this one shot where all his soldiers are all in their exosuits borrowed from the Matrix Revolutions, and they're all shooting
at... It was borrowed from Aliens first.
Exactly,
yeah. Aliens first, true.
Aliens, then Iron Man, then District 9. So let's get all this straight.
That's very true. But they're all in a row, and they're all firing at the Na'vi or something in the forest. But he isn't. He's just drinking coffee.
I like that, actually. I like that shot, too, Phil, actually. That's a really good pick, actually. And I like the shot where
it's... You also liked the moment at the end, didn't you?
I did like that moment. It's the cliche speech that the hero gives. And I know That's the point everyone's shitting on. Like, everyone, people, whether or not you liked it or lumped it or whatever, they don't like that part. I actually like that for some reason, so it kind of gives you an idea of...
Yeah, I kept waiting for Mel Gibson to pop out somewhere in there. That sounds very...
Forget that. Get out that motivational speech video. That, too.
Yep. I liked the trailer, too. I thought actually the second trailer was awesome. So, I mean, the story, yeah, it may not be original, but...
It's not about originality. It's not. I mean, we talked about this on our Star Trek show. The story, the reboot was cliche story, and yet you're compelled because of the performances, because of Abrams' direction.
Exactly.
That's why no one said, like, it was so cliche. No, I've not heard one person point out how cliche Star Trek was, because it was, but it was so good.
Yeah, as long as you get the audience to care about the characters, the story really doesn't matter. And from what I saw, I think there's enough in there that I think people will be invested in the characters.
You think so? All right. Well,
I think so, yeah.
We'll put some money on that. Ed and I are drawing the sand in the line right, or lined in the sand right now. Just saying. But speaking of Mr. Hawken,
it's so nice to have you on the show, Lou.
Yeah, it
so
is.
So nice to have someone backing me on this.
It is.
Until the next point and we disagree and then you'll hate my guts again.
That's actually a very excellent point.
I don't hate anybody.
Sure. That's all right. So now, Ed, you saw a movie this recently. Now, you wanted to tell us about it, sir?
Well, yes. I saw Bronson a couple of weeks ago. This is a movie I've been making the festival circuit. This is a movie about Charlie Bronson. Now, this is not the Charlie Bronson...
No, not jealous, Bronson.
No dice. But rather a very famous prisoner in England who co-opted the name. A man who spent 34 years in solitary confinement, and it was a challenging movie. And it's a character study. Bronson is played by an actor by the name of Tom Hardy, who was in Band of Brothers and some other stuff that I'm not familiar with. Oh, yeah.
That was his first movie, I think, was Star Trek Nemesis, I think. Or one of his early roles. He was in Black Hawk Down, I believe, too.
Yep.
I think so.
So but, he's. I heard it's like the best performance of the year is a Hardy as Charlie Bronson. Actually, would
well,
you?
Well, yeah. No, it's amazing. It's an amazing performance, and. Okay.
And a physical transformation for him.
Very
too, transformation.
Yeah, but I will say with Bronson, it's not as violent as I thought it would be, and there was stuff I was expecting to happen that did not happen.
Really?
It's in very, you know, I would call it Kubrick-esque. There's a lot of very, you know, flat shots and, you know, natural light, and there's some, you know, the music's great. Probably one of the best. There's a hilarious use of Pet Shop Boys in the movie, and.
West End Girls?
No. I know what the scene is and the song. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But it's a worthwhile movie to see. It's done by the director of the famed Pusher trilogy, which is a series I've seen about the criminal underworld in Copenhagen. But you can see the first movie on InstaView, which is what I've put into my queue. I have to get around to seeing it.
Indeed. Now, I brought this up. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would say, like anything else, if you're able to see it, go see it. But I try to ask Phil if he knew anything about Bronson, and apparently he doesn't.
The most famous actor, despite what, you know, Ed thinks, he really doesn't pop up in the news that often. The last time I heard of Bronson in the news was when he asked for an audience with the Spice Girls. And obviously, this was a long time ago. Yeah, this is when they were. This is 96.
This is before my nieces were born. Whose children were born many years ago, because we're old enough to remember this.
Long
Spice
time ago,
Girls.
In a galaxy
when Beckham could still bend it.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Good one, man. You've been around us just long enough, Mr. Lou.
Yeah, you guys are rubbing off on me.
Not in that way. But anyway, I brought this up to Ed because, one, he's our pal. We want to get his opinion on films. He's got good tastes. I can say that very accurately. But the other reason is that we're going to be seeing Tom Hardy a little bit more lately because this past week a story came out that Tom Hardy will be filling in the leather boots and possibly assless chaps and Mad Max.
Well, assless chaps is redundant. Chaps by their nature are assless.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Now, I apologize for that mistake. But he will be filling in the boots of Mel Gibson for the fourth, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, Mad Max film, Fury Road. Now, the rumor started a week ago. About a week ago, E! Online got a report that he had been cast along with Charlize Theron in the lead. The trades have come out, and now since confirmed the story, so props to E! For breaking it. I try to give people credit when they break a story, even if I don't like them personally, which I won't name names, but still, they deserve credit. So Mad Max 4 is it's happening. George Miller's directing it. He's been trying to get this movie on the ground for about, over 10 years.
More than that.
More? Yeah, I mean.
You know, 20 plus.
Really? That long he's been trying to get a Mad Max 4 going? Good God. Yeah. I know there were reports they were trying to get – they literally were going to make one for in 2003, and that fell apart because of our invasion of Iraq, because none of the studios wanted their major productions going into foreign soil during that period, as I recall. I'm sure you guys remember this. So it's interesting they're finally making it. It's going to shoot the whole thing in Australia. I guess my question is I think it's cool to see a Mad Max movie return. I don't know if anyone else is going to care, though. I mean, they're investing $100 million in this. I think this is going to be kind of an all-for-naught kind of approach situation. What do you guys think?
We don't need another hero. That's what I think.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Now, why didn't I think of that, actually?
There's only one question I've got about this. What's Charlize Theron doing in it?
She's the female lead.
But I'm not saying that facetiously. I'm saying, who's she gonna? Is she gonna play like a Tina Turner kind of character, or was she?
Maybe it'll be she'll be Mad Max's wife.
Yeah, dude.
Did you ever think of that?
No, I didn't actually.
Maybe
I always
thought of
Flux. So anyway, I only had that little crack, which wasn't very good.
It was okay.
I've never seen the Mad Max movies. Really.
God, you haven't?
No, I've seen bits of them. I've seen the car chases and stuff. I know about Master Blaster, but I don't really.
You've never seen The Road Warrior?
Sorry.
It's sad. We used to like you, Phil.
I know.
No. I get the feeling it's going to be like another Terminator Salvation, where it's like they, you know, we convince the nerds get convinced that this is going to be huge, and they nerdgasm into believing it's going to be huge, and then people tell you, I don't give a shit about Mad Max. That looks stupid. I'm not going. Just like
well,
they did with
Terminator. Wait. Go back up a second. You mentioned Terminator Salvation. Now, see, they were trying to shoehorn the weird-ass timeline of Terminator Salvation. There's no timeline with Mad Max.
That's true.
I thought this was just essentially a remake of the first movie.
This is Mad Max 4. I mean, they pretty much said, like, because Miller's had the script, and by various reports, like, he's had storyboards to this thing for years, and Gibson was supposed to do it, and, I mean, I was surprised.
They wanted to shoot in Nigeria for some reason, too.
I thought it was going to be Morocco, but yeah, it might have been there, actually. But they were.
I don't really know how that fits into the storyline, but that's an interesting.
Desert Wasteland, that's all I know. So whatever can post for that. But
Australia has that, too.
Yeah, I know. That's
yeah,
what
clearly
like,
Australia has a desert wasteland. That's very obvious.
Plenty. Yeah. But. Well, yeah, I mean, Miller was showing off of before this news item hit. I mean, he was showing off the cars that they designed and created for the movie and saying, like, you know, we're going to employ a lot of people. And it's funny because it does confirm something that we've all been hearing a while, which was he was pushing to get that fucking awful Justice League movie made.
Here it comes again.
No.
Every fucking week you mention that.
No, not every week. Every 2 weeks. No, but...
There you have it.
Yeah, exactly. But he wanted to... He was pushing to get the movie made in Australia so he can get people jobs because the Australian film economy is not doing awesome, and that was his big to-do. I respect the man for that. He's trying to get people work. I dare someone not to say, like, hey, man, you know, props to you for trying. Tell me I'm wrong on that one, folks.
No, I agree. I also, you've just reminded me, actually, it would really be cool if he was able to cast all those Justice League cast members in Mad Max 4, Armie Hammer. As some, you know, grizzled warrior guy in a truck. That'd be
He's very tall. I mean, there's pictures of Armie Hammer around. He is a very tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was on Reaper, if you don't know him. He did a Billy... There was a movie about Billy Graham that... apparently, he played Billy Graham... Billy the Early Years or something, which... I am not kidding. This is what this movie was called, Lou.
I'm sorry.
You're intrigued, though. You want to see it.
Yeah, it's called Billy the Early Years. I'm looking at it right now. Yep, that's what it's called.
Wow, that's one of the laziest titles yet.
Yeah, really? Bill G, the Early Years.
That's what it's... I could not make
Are you
that
mocking
up.
Me?
Yes.
No, because you're still in your early years.
That's true, actually. Yeah. We are. We don't have – none of us are married and have children of the three of us. I don't include our gentleman, Mr. Lou, here because he is spoken for.
Older statesman.
Yes, sir. The old – I wasn't going to say – well, I mean, you just say the old fart, and I – you know, I'm not going to say that. You have to say that, you know. No, but anyway.
9 minutes of me playing with G.I. Joes. It cost $80 million.
See, that sounded like a better impression than I did a couple of weeks ago.
I have had a question for Ed since he saw Bronson. Was Hardy have a lot of swagger in that movie? Like, do you think he could pull off a good Mad Max?
Oh, well, I mean, because he bulked up. You can clearly tell he bulked up for Bronson. I mean, because the movie is...
I'm thinking more of that. Yeah.
I imagine this guy could have the swagger. I haven't seen him in anything else.
Okay.
But,
Well, he's very small. Yeah, he's not very big in a Nemesis, as I recall.
Well, Mel Gibson isn't tall either.
He isn't? I did not know that. I learned something today. I didn't know. I don't follow the dude.
Well, he's got to have presence, but, you know, it's the Daniel Craig scenario all over again. You know, it's not going to be an issue. Besides, most people in Hollywood are small.
Physically or emotionally?
Well, you would say both.
See, that's right. I've been around you long enough. Okay, so... another item Phil wanted to talk about. This is all because, you know, all I do is I serve to please Phil on this show, ladies and gentlemen.
We've noticed.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just kidding.
That Mad Max suit wasn't for props. That's all I'm going to say about that. So there's the Thor movie that's in development. Phil can't wait to see it. It's kind of a variation of the barbarian tits and ass sword and sandal epic that Phil's been wanting to see for years. This will be PG-13, obviously, in a fantasy element.
Without the tits in the ass.
That,
so it's just
without the tits in the ass. So sad.
Maybe one boob. I don't know.
That'll be in the European version, so Phil will get to see that. We'll have to wait for the unrated DVD.
Well, if Brian Blessed was going to be in it, we would have seen breasts. But unfortunately,
but nobody, no one wants to see those breasts. That's the problem. You know, I'm a big Brian Blessed fan, but I don't want to see his boobs. This movie's getting more and more classy by its cast. Just came out this past week, that Tony Hopkins is going to play Odin, Thor's, I guess, baby daddy, or whatever you want to call him, his dad, for you youngins out there, don't know the phrase. Thoughts?
Well, yeah, he hasn't been doing anything.
He's the go-to guy to play the elder statesman right now, I think.
Phil had a good analogy. Bring it up, Phil. You actually had a really good one.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm going to sound really hard to please because we heard Brian Blessed was doing it, and I said that was a mistake because Brian Blessed, as much as we all love him in this country, he's a national treasure, he's a complete figure of fun these days, and I can't imagine seeing serious dramatic scenes between Odin and Thor when Thor is banished to Earth with Brian Blessed playing the mentor father figure because, you know, he's just a figure of fun. Now they've cast Tony Hopkins, but we've seen Tony Hopkins do this sort of thing 100 times before. It's very much like Liam Neeson playing the wise mentor figure.
No. It's called the Morgan Freeman effect.
That's even better, actually.
Yeah. Need a narrator? Get Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I did. When I saw Batman Begins, I did expect Morgan Freeman to suddenly start narrating it. That's when I first met Batman. You know, I really did expect it. That was my horrible, raspy Morgan Freeman impression there. No more, I swear. But, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I've just defended Lou. He's like, whatever, dude. You're dead in my eyes.
I won't be able to watch Shawshank in the same light anymore.
Hey, you know what? He's from my sister state, so I can say that nicely. He's from Mississippi. We like Morgan Freeman. What, you don't think I don't? I love Morgan Freeman.
No. That's cool.
It's getting really personal in this podcast.
You got to get out of jail free card.
Nice. Putting Monopoly in a podcast about movies. That's a good reference for you.
Well, they were going to make a Monopoly movie.
They still are going to make a Monopoly movie. Ridley, I mean, that's – I don't know. That's – I want to see how they
fix it. We are for Battleship.
We are. There's also Battleship, which I think Battleship's actually going to happen sooner. That's like getting an August 2011 release.
That has nothing to do with the board game, it seems.
No, I'm game to see that. I mean, obviously they're not going to literally do a film version of the board game. I don't think so.
We haven't had a naval combat movie, I mean, probably since Master Commander or the Kelsey Grammer comedy Down Periscope.
Wow, I have not heard that movie referenced since the 90s. So, congratulations, Mr. Hawken. That's a very good reference. I'm waiting for someone to bring up Polly Shore in 5 minutes from now. Ridley Scott, the thing about Ridley, he's attached to, like, or Sir Ridley, he's attached to, like, 15 projects, and how old is he? In his 70s? So, you know, do the math. Unless he's going to be cryogenically frozen to get those movies made one day, I'm not going to hold my breath
I do want to bring up one thing, speaking of the Scotts, Tony Scott is supposedly he's attached to the movie on the story of the Chippendales dancers. Oh, man.
Yes, is it going to look like every other that sort of acid-y look, though? That's my question.
That's what I want to know. There's going to be unnecessary subtitles and, you know, basically someone's got to take the classic Saturday Night Live Chris Farley, Patrick Swayze skit and cut it to make it look like Tony Scott did it.
I want to see that, actually. So I have nothing wrong with that. And also, you know, people can say, oh, it's such a terrible idea, but, you know, Tony Scott hasn't done any worse lately. Have you seen his movies lately? I mean, honestly, folks?
No.
Just saying. I mean, maybe Unstoppable will be good because Captain Kirk's in it now. I doubt it, but still, it could be. But anyway, we got really badly off topic.
Which Captain? Pine or Shatner?
Pine. But you just know one day there's going to be a movie where those two show up. It'll be kind of like that Hot Shots Part 2 moment where, like, you know, Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen, like, point at each other and go, I loved you in Wall Street. It'll be kind of like that. They'll point at each other and go, I loved you in Star Trek. You watch. Yeah. It'll happen one day. God damn it. But anyway, back to that's like 5 minutes of the worst improv humanly imaginable from my part. You guys are funny, though. So anyway, back to the original topic about Anthony Hopkins. He's a pretty good actor, huh? Phil?
Yep.
And Phil is gone. Apparently Phil got so offended by this conversation, he's just like, fuck this show. I guess. I guess.
Yeah, he's...
Apparently Phil left the conversation. It's so sad.
Oh, man.
He did. Apparently he did. He was just... It's really sad there.
His phone is jingling. Phil.
Apparently.
Hello.
Yes.
He's back. He's back.
Phil, okay. See, I was going on. I didn't even notice that Phil had left. So Phil didn't...
It was me?
Well, apparently, because we're still here talking.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
We are still recording.
He's back. That's all we need to know.
Exactly. We're still recording, so don't worry about it. So anyway, back... Next topic.
Break the fourth wall.
It is kind of weird how I like
just
to do
got meta over here.
So, speaking of other actors, John Rhys-Davies says that he is not going to be in The Hobbit after all. I assumed he would be. I know there were the rumors that they were going to get some of the Fellowship in the movie, at least the ones that were, you know, chronologically that were still around when The Hobbit took place. He says, I'm not going to be in the movie at all. Obviously, he wouldn't play Gimli. He would play Gimli's father, I believe. He said, I'm not going to be in it. They asked me. I said, no, thank you. And I believe, didn't he have, like, an allergic reaction to the makeup during the filming?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Okay.
He did.
Yeah.
So he's not going to show up, and that sucks because I kind of just assumed he would. I really thought he'd be... Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought they might do, like, cameos, all of them, like Elijah and...
Well, who would Elijah play? I mean...
Well, I'd just do a cameo as another character, something.
Oh. No. Okay.
I don't know. I thought that's what they were talking about, but...
I don't think so.
Well, I always did like the idea of Ian Holm being back in some capacity. Just like a little footnote writing the book or something. It might be cheesy, but, you know, it'd be nice to see him back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's still a question about who's going to play Bilbo. I mean, I'm thoroughly expecting a Christmas announcement for the new Bilbo. I'm guesstimating on that. I think that we'll get one. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I'd like to hear. I'm curious who they get, though. I mean, there's the rumors about David Tennant, I think his name is. He's the current Doctor Who. Not anymore? Okay, well, maybe it'll be him. Who knows? I mean, I remember he was brought up. Who else was brought up?
James McAvoy.
Yeah, and we know that's never going to happen, and I say that, and then it will happen. The one, of course, the big one that you just kind of go, oh, come on, is Daniel Radcliffe. It's like, that's stupid. That's like saying, like, that's the equivalent of saying you're going to make Tom Welling in the next Superman movie. It's like, yeah, that's never happening ever, so why even waste your time with a rumor like that? Not a strike against Radcliffe or Welling. I like both actors just fine. Just saying.
And it's not going to be Sam Worthington either.
Damn it! I was going to say next.
Or Michael Duncan Clark.
What? Michael? What the hell? Where did you get that from?
If we're going all over the map, then
That'd be a very large hobbit.
That would be a big-ass hobbit. He wouldn't even have to go on the mission himself. He wouldn't need those fucking dwarves and Gandalf. That's awesome. Lou's going to cast...
Reanimate Andre the Giant.
Lou's going to cast every movie from now on, because that's such a great choice, actually. That's funny. But, okay, what else happened this week? Men in Black 3 is coming. They announced...
Sorry.
Now for Lou's real opinion. I don't know. I mean... it's funny that they bring this up. I actually saw the sequel on TV maybe 2 weeks ago, and I had never seen it. I kind of avoided it when it came out in theaters.
No, you had you?
I didn't. It wasn't out of spite. I just didn't want to watch it because I liked the first movie, and it's funny. I was a kid at the time, and I remember I had to choose between Contact and Men in Black to go see. And
you made the wrong choice.
I saw Contact, actually.
Damn it.
I did see Contact. Yeah, that's what I said. I was going to play the game on you. But yeah, I mean, when I finally saw Men in Black, I saw it in the home video, actually, and I liked it, but I never really went nuts over it like everyone else did when it opened. And the sequel came out, and I said, eh, whatever.
The sequel was garbage.
Well, it wasn't like Ghostbusters 2 garbage. I mean, maybe it's because...
I remember 97 being a really bad summer, because like Men in Black was just the best of what we had available. Lost World was shit.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin was shit. I don't like The Fifth Element. I'm sorry. I don't like it.
Well, you had that as a summer movie. See, we had that, I think, we got that in March, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, it was a spring movie. I remember.
Yeah, so that's, I remember Fifth Element coming out. That was a weird
movie. Yeah, and there was Air Force One, because that was the year Titanic was supposed to be in summer. Did not show up.
Yeah.
There was Air Force One, and I don't know what else.
There was Air Force Spawn.
Con Air was, yeah, you're right. Con Air was 97.
Actually, that was the...
No,
that
it was 96.
Con Air was 97. Yeah. That was the summer of Nicolas Cage as the action star. It was
Face Off was 97.
Yeah, they were both summer. Like, Face Off was June. And
Rock
then,
was 96.
Yeah, Rock was 96. So Face Off was June, and then Con Air was July. And that was the summer to prove that Nicolas Cage could play Superman. Because it was like, that was when he was still going to – they were still going to make it. So it was like, don't worry, people. He can be an action star. Look at these two movies. And he actually was a pretty decent action star. And then who would have known he would have turned into the Nicolas Cage of now? Not me. That's who. Just saying. But yeah, Con Air. Air Force One, actually, I remember that. That was actually, I remember liking that as a kid. I haven't seen it in years, obviously.
No, I like Air Force One, but in terms of special effects, you know, the high concept and comic book kind of movies. It wasn't.
Well, we got Batman and Robin and Spawn. Nuff said.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, it's kind of just leaves it right there. But
I guess Spawn's a guilty pleasure for me. I actually didn't mind that.
As a kid, I liked Spawn. But as an adult, I look back and I shake my head and go, what the?
Everyone who was 14 in the mid-90s loved Spawn, except me.
But, God bless. That's because you were wise.
You
were wise beyond your years, my friend.
Although a few years later, I discovered Sam and Twitch, the comic, and I loved the hell out of it. But that's a different story.
If there's any Image comic book property to make it to a movie, it's got to be Savage Dragon. I mean, let's be fair here. That's the one I want to see. That would make the most brilliant, just brutally violent, funny movie imaginable. They'll never make it. But still, that's the one I want to see. And, you know, whatever. And you guys probably don't even know what Savage Dragon is, so I'm alone.
I've heard of Savage Dragon.
Is he a guy with a green head?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got a green
muscle. He doesn't know who he is, so.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Well, yeah,
but
he knows.
He's got a pin on his head, and
he's a
Chicago cop. That's all he is.
Which, you know, and then you could have, you know what, that would be the perfect movie. You can have Reginald Van Johnson as his sidekick. Make it a little bit.
Who owns that character? Is that a DC, Marvel?
Eric Larson, Image. I don't know if Eric Larson's run. There was a period where he was running Image himself, as I believe. Could be.
No, I think that's Eric Larson's book.
It is his book.
I think that's his.
No, it is his book. I mean, like he. But I thought he ran. Image for a while. You nerds out there listening to us, please correct me later, because you probably will anyway. I say nerds in a loving way because I'm a nerd, and we all are nerds here. Last couple
Men in Black 3.
Yeah, Men in Black 3.
So who's going to be in this?
Yeah. Nobody. That's the thing. Nobody. Barry Sonnenfeld is attached. They've got a writer. Ethan Cohen, I believe his name is. He was one of the writers on what's that flick that came out last year that hasn't aged very well? Tropic Thunder. He's writing it, and there's nothing in the cards for Will Smith or Tommy Lee Jones right now. So they might come back.
Tommy Lee Jones is going to do it. I mean,
you think he will do it?
No, I don't think he will.
I don't know. I mean, he's going through a creative hot streak right now. His last couple of movies have been really good, so I would kind of prefer him stay in that hot streak personally. Yeah. Will Smith, I mean, you got to pay an arm and a leg and a couple eyeballs and any other vital organs worth just to get him on board. In fact, I remember that was the reason why they took so long to get the second one out, because they had to pay all three guys to agree to come back. And they finally made it. No one cared, apparently. Although it's still
Linda Fiorentino must be pissed.
Yeah, no, whatever happened to her? God, I mean, just she can talk about someone who disappeared off the face of the earth.
She got over 40.
Oh. I was going to say that's what happens when you fuck with Kevin Smith, but okay. You know, that too. All right. I'll buy that.
Don't forget, the problem with the second one is they had this whole third act, which had to be scrapped while they were shooting. Because
oh, God. That's right. I forgot about that. That was the one thing that stuck out.
What's his name? The Jackass guy. He's in it. He plays the two-headed. But he disappears halfway through the movie. He's literally in one shot, and he's gone the next. And I found out later that actually it's because he was in the third act, and I think he teamed up to beat Lara Flynn Doyle.
Yeah.
He was very good, actually, in Man in Black 2, actually. She's the best thing in it, I think.
Very good to look at.
The performances aren't too bad at all. He was going to be in the third act and team up and get her, but they had to scrap the ending, and they forgot to write him into it, so they came up with... I'll tell you something. Jamie will agree with me on this, I think, because he's seen it now, so he'll know what I'm talking about. The ending of Men in Black 2 was so clear to me, but they chickened out of it. In the first movie, you know, Will Smith is replacing Tommy Lee Jones, so at the end he wipes his memory and he goes back to his wife. In the second movie, Will Smith is complaining about how, you know, he's living this life of anonymity and no one can ever know the great things he does, and he wants to go back to his ordinary life, and he meets, you know, Rosario Dawson and wants to be with her. It's so clear to me that it should have ended with him going back to his normal life, but they fucking chickened out of it because they wanted them, you know, back so they could do a third one. And that was pissed me off about the second one. And the third one's, I don't even...
Well, they'll probably make it. I get the feeling I made a Smokey and the Bandit joke earlier. You kind of get the feeling that maybe they will go the Smokey and the Bandit 3 route for the next one if they do in fact make it, which at this point they probably are going to make it now. You know, bring one of them back, and then bring a similar type actor to fill in the other role. So of the two who would be more likely to return, it would be Tommy Lee Jones. I know we don't think he will come back, or he should come back, but...
No, I think he should go ahead and make the Lincoln Lawyer. I don't think he should go and do this.
So, But that's a lot of money to make. So.
Men in Black 3, The Next Generation or something.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, aren't we getting that with Ghostbusters 3, which granted that's probably never going to happen either. So who cares? Anyway.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that...
Go ahead.
I think the weak link in this series was Barry Sonnenfeld. Honestly, I just think the guy can't direct. I mean, these are you know, movies with supposed to have action and special effects, and he's just not good at
it. For a second, I thought you were going to say Rip Torn. I was about to cut you off right in there.
No.
Like, we are not going to
have you besmirch Artie like that.
Exactly. You will not.
I would never insult anyone with that cool a name.
That's true,
that.
Actually.
Still Powers Booth, though.
That's true.
Anyway, last item I have here, it's kind of ironic that I bring this up, because when Phil and I did our very first Movie Moan, and I mean very first, when like we did it live on the radio, online, we talked about Dune, and they've been having a Dune remake in development for a while. About a year and a half ago, Peter Berg was hired, and he was going to direct it, and I thought, that's an interesting choice, and I say interesting in a good way. Well, now word has come out that Peter Berg is off the project. He's too busy doing other things, including the aforementioned Battleship, which we talked about a few minutes ago. They want to try to get a couple of other directors on board, but I don't think they're ever going to make a Dune remake, so I don't really think it matters. So, Dune? How do you make it commercial? That's the problem. You're investing a lot of money. It's going to be expensive as hell.
It'd be Watchmen all over again, essentially. I mean, it'll be impressive, but I don't think there's going to be the staying power to see. I mean, because I never read Dune.
I couldn't read it. I tried hell to read Dune.
I have, and the thing like with Dune, you'd have to treat it like a trilogy to do it properly. Like, there's just too much material in there for a two-hour movie, and that's what happened with the first one.
And then they tried to make a miniseries.
They did a miniseries.
They did a couple of them.
They've covered the first couple of books. I don't really see the need to go back to that property anymore. Be like remaking it or something. Like, oh, wait a minute, they're remaking it.
Yeah. Maybe if you bring it up. Maybe if you said it. Go ahead, Phil.
No, I was going to say I've got two problems with it, and maybe Luke can agree or disagree with me on this since he's read the book. Number one, yeah, I agree. It's too big a story for one movie, but the book is structured to the point where you can't satisfactorily divide it into several movies. Like, there's no... I can't see it happening. I can't see it really working that way. It's not like Lord of the Rings. Secondly, I said this to Jamie off air. As opposed to... It's not commercial because as opposed to... And I know it's lazy to use Lord of the Rings, but what the hell, I'm a lazy person. Lord of the Rings is about a fellowship of friends and likable characters. Dune is populated by a universe of characters who... are trying to fuck each other over, and nobody likes anybody. Everybody's just trying to kill each other and take over everybody's planet and the spice.
Yeah,
and
about
shit.
To say they're also all schizophrenic because they always talk about the spice constantly. Yeah. The spice,
and they all have internal monologues going on, and nobody trusts each other. It's, oh Jesus. It's just not commercial.
Well, if I remember the story, it was that he was talking to Robert Pattinson about playing Paul Muad'Dib. Which I'm sure would have gotten the young girls in there.
They'd be bored out of their minds.
Exactly. Yeah. He doesn't do anything. He emotes for 2.5 hours. Doesn't he do that on the Twilight movies? I don't know. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, but, I don't know. It's Dune is such a complicated book, and it's so much of it is internal dialogue. It's really hard to bring something like that to the screen, even more than Lord of the Rings, I think.
However, if we can get The Watchmen done... Dare I say, I think we could...
No, it's not unfilmable. It's been filmed.
Well,
it's
you know what I mean, though. Pull it off in most people's eyes. I mean, say what you will about the Watchmen movie, but the overwhelming consensus is that Snyder pulled it off. That's what most people think. Maybe not 100%, obviously, but most people feel like he did it justice, you know, more than anyone else probably would have. Same thing with Lord of the Rings. You know, and Dune, obviously, was just like... I don't know what was long. I don't know. I mean, that movie was just – it was David Lynch making it. It's enough said there. You don't give that guy, like, a huge budget to make this insanely would-be commercial movie and tout it as the next Star Wars. Not a good idea.
He's our villain, the Baron, with his festering boils.
Yeah.
And Sting with his leather diaper.
Exactly. But that's the other thing. I mean, you'd probably do the same thing. You'd probably cast like a bunch of really big name actors in this new version of Dune, just like the old one did. So
yeah, I think he With something like that, you would just have to kind of look at it and pick, like, okay, there's two or three elements of the story that I really like and kind of focus on them, and you'd have to drop a lot of stuff to make it into a movie that, that would be commercial.
Yeah. And also, like I said, you know, I'm always a big believer in, like, casting unknown actors in the leads, particularly if these, like, big franchise tentpoles and stuff. It's like, you don't get someone to play, you know, Paul Atreides / Madib. You don't get fucking a flavor of the month actor. You get a fresh-faced unknown, really. You don't get someone like that. You don't get the Twilight Boy. And I'm not striking the dude. I have not seen the Twilight movies. I saw him in the fifth Harry Potter movie. Now, I'm sorry, it was the fourth one. And I thought he was really good in it. But I didn't think to myself, boy, everyone's going to hate that little fucker one day. I just felt like, yeah, he's pretty decent. I was sad when he died. But I'm just saying. I don't know what you guys felt about that.
Oops. Well, I've got one problem, though. I've got one problem with Peter Berg leaving Dune.
All right.
That means there's nothing standing in his way of making Hancock 2. And I want to go in a cave. I'm really unhappy. I don't want Hancock. I don't want Hancock. I know I'm being selfish because some people liked it. I don't want
to. Who liked it? I don't know anybody who liked Hancock 2. Like, I mean, they
somebody must have made enough money.
Yeah.
Well,
that doesn't mean anything. There's plenty of movies that are terrible. I mean, look at the Da Vinci Code. That movie made a fortune. Everyone hated it. They were going to see it because it was a huge cast. It was a big director. It was a very popular book. It was a big release date. No one liked it. And they made the second one, and guess what? It made half of what the first one did. And you know why? Because no one liked it. So, I'm just saying. Look at X-Men 3. Made a lot of money. You know why? Because everyone loved the first two. Wolverine is now, like, the second lowest grossing of the X-Men movies. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just not, I hope I didn't come off as a dick saying that.
Nope. Well spoken.
Well, thank you. Anyway. Wow, I think your mic agrees with me. So anyway, anything else this week, gentlemen?
I don't think so.
No, not that I can think of.
Actually, I have one more thing, because our gentleman, Mr. Liu, mentioned this, and since I just brought up X-Men, you know, not intentionally, it looks like Hugh Jackman will not be hosting the Academy Awards next year. I thought he would host again, actually, because I thought he actually did a pretty good job. But granted, he did have a movie to promote, and I don't know what's coming out next year that stars Hugh Jackman. But rumors are suggesting it's Neil Patrick Harris, who apparently was also rumored last year. So I don't know who would be a better who would be a good fit to host the Oscars. You guys think?
I got nothing.
You don't? Okay.
I always liked Steve Martin, but I don't know if he was a popular choice.
I thought he did decent. How about Steve Carell? He's funny.
Yeah, he would be good.
He's a funny guy, you know.
Yeah,
I think so. Anyway, that was an exciting
Sorry, I really couldn't think of anybody.
You really can't think of anybody?
Well, because, I mean, who fixates? I mean, I stopped caring about the Oscars years ago, but then more importantly about who hosts it, you know?
Well, I mean, I say if that's the case, let's just get David Letterman to host it again. Let's just throw caution to the wind. Let Letterman do it. You know, because everyone's defeated. Why not? It's like no one cares anyway. Let's just get, like, everyone thinks he was.
I mean, I said off air I want Joseph Gordon-Levitt dressed up in his Cobra Commander outfit to do it, but no one's going with me on that. So.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
If I can't take it seriously, then I won't say anything.
Well, I mean, you know, if that's the case, you might as well get Ray Park to be the other co-host of Snake Eyes with his rubber lips. Just saying.
Why not?
Or they could get Michael Moore to do it.
that would be awesome, actually.
yeah, that would go over well.
Man, these Oscars are really condescending. Oh, man.
That they are. But anyway... Yeah. Okay, that wraps up. This is a really tight show, but hey guys, thanks for listening to us. Like I said, I apologize for last week's problems, but we are back every week as we always are. Thanks for joining, Lou. Thanks for joining us, sir. Please come next week, as always. I mean, I consider you the fourth wheel, but sometimes you can't join us, so it's always weird to be like when you're on and when you're not on. You know what I mean. That's why I don't say thanks for joining us, Ed, because Ed's like, whatever, Ed knows. Same thing with Phil. Yeah, he knows, whatever. Yes.
Still like hearing it.
Boy, nothing like being single load, I'll tell you.
In a good way, I'm just, you know.
I don't know if that was a good way or not.
I'm just saying.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be the only appreciated one, Lou?
Exactly. I don't get no respect.
But anyway, guys, thanks for listening. We will see you next week at the movies. You have a good one, guys. Take it easy. Bye.
Fuck you, Jamie.
Bye.